This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
All right, Angela, it was a vision in plaid today.
Yeah. So comfy, soft and comfy.
And plaid.
Yeah.
I like it. That feels kind of like country, you know,
yeah.
Like that kind of like I drove in from Moroa this morning.
You know how I am. You know how I roll.
Like the pioneer woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My straw hat, I left that.
Got a horse parked out front.
Yes, that's right. I do.
All right. Well, I know you have to leave us early today because your countdown to your aquatic days is in effect, but still there.
But
it's an important job.
It
Someone
is.
Has to do it.
You can't have the pools open without a lifeguard. So
the training is always amazing to me. Years and years ago, the reason I'm not doing that anymore was I had the pools as part of my responsibility, mm-hmm. Fairview and Nelson at that time when, largely Nelson was the swim club and swim meets, mm-hmm. and then the Vice Lords and Gangster Disciples.
Oh.
That was basically your weekend. Yeah, it was always like half of gangsters on one side of the pool, half on the other side of the pool, and all you did was just wait for one bad look, something to, you know.
Jeez.
Yeah. A whole lot of feeling
None
froggy.
None of that at the Y.
Feeling froggy?
No, just
the whole time.
Whatever
just
was going to go off, right?
Yeah.
And so this was like, you know, the early 90s, mid-90s, when this was, a big problem. And, of course, it was all over the community. And then Fairview was just all families, and, you know, they had the zero-depth entry, you know, where people put their chairs, and you go out there. And so going to one to the other was just like back and forth. That's the reason I'm no longer there.
Yeah.
But the training.
Oh, yeah.
They used Ellis and Associates,
yes,
which is
a
big name, and I think they still do. But they would send people in, Nick, undercover.
Yeah. In the restaurant biz, we call them secret shoppers.
Yeah, but they would pay at the front, you know, maybe a kid with them.
That's
and then they would sit there and monitor the guard activity to make sure they were doing their job.
That's
and if
good.
They didn't, it was a big deal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so people were always kind of on the edge of like never knowing when someone was there watching them.
Oh.
Sounds kind of creepy, but that's what it was.
Got to be vigilant 24/7.
So what's the rule? For the pool, how many lifeguards do you have to have?
We have to have one guard in each pool, obviously when it's open. If you have over 25 people in the pool, you have two guards. So
it's not size of pool, it's number of people.
Yep.
Makes sense.
And I try to err on the side of caution. So if we, if we have lots of younger kids, I'll double up. So when we have camp in there, I'll double up guard. And,
if memory serves me, the most amount of saves were people jumping off the diving board that didn't know how to swim. And you would always go, how did you think this was going to end? Did you think you were going to hit the deep end and then just suddenly know how to swim?
Yeah, and most Ys don't have diving boards.
No,
anymore.
But I mean, there's just always a thing that just stuck with me. It's like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Park district guard at one time, too, and it was, yes.
Let me see if I can accelerate myself to the bottom of the pool where I have no way of getting out.
Just
rather than just dangle my little toe
first. Just think about, you go like, you can't swim. Why are you going off the diving board into
all
the
time?
Deep
all the time. Or my favorite was when the parents would come into the baby pool at the park district that I was at, and they would fall asleep, and their 2-year-olds in the baby pool without any supervision.
Oh, I know.
So the lifeguards are your baby.
Always getting in the way of all the fun,
guard,
don't they?
Yeah, I would guard in the water because you can't mountain, which was smart. So, you couldn't see the entire pool from where. So I just guard in the water and walk around the mountain. And
with your little flotation device.
Yeah.
Pretend you're in
Baywatch.
Well,
you know what? You didn't have those then.
Really?
Remember? You didn't have the tubes. You just had the
little thing you hold
buoy,
to the side. Yeah.
And that was attached to your chair. So you walked around with your whistle. You didn't have a pack. You didn't have anything. It was just
Did you at
a
least
whistle.
Have the stuff on the nose, the white
when
stuff?
When I got super burn, I put my zinc oxide on there, which, with my skin, that was pretty.
I was going to say, prep didn't
pretty
take
quickly.
Long. Yeah. Well, I know it's been a lot of extra work for you, and looking forward to you being
back
not
in
off
health
that.
And wellness.
Yeah.
Back in the studio. Will
back where
be,
you belong.
Be my home base for a while. So, yeah, we're getting ready to launch a new studio program during the lunch hour. So I'm excited about that.
Whoa, preview that for us.
So it's going to be Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from noon to noon 30. So if you have an hour lunch, which most people do, they can come in, get a quick workout, and head back out the door. We're taking a max of 10, and I'm calling it the combine.
Okay.
Because we're going to combine the Tuesday, Thursday will be, you know, more traditional exercises with the traditional equipment. And then Wednesday will be your non-traditional stuff, which is what I have fun with doing. So, you know, it might be all core. We could be doing nothing but TRX. It could be all.
So it's always, it's just a show up and find out.
Yep.
All right. That sounds like fun. What's the cost of that?
It'll be $85 for the 3 days, for a month.
Oh, 3 days a week for a month?
For a month.
That's a great deal.
It's a great deal.
How many slots will you have?
I'll have 10. That's, and you know, and I'll adjust if I think I can, you know, put more in there. But 10's a pretty good number in that space. As you know, you've been in that space.
Yeah. I mean, it's great for what it is.
Yeah.
It's not huge.
It's not huge.
But it's enough room to, 10 people. Yeah.
And, you know, we'll utilize the hallway if needed.
Got it.
But, you know, when I first launched several years ago, it was just really fun having a bunch of people working out together and supporting one another. And we just had a really good vibe and a lot of energy. So I'm looking forward to getting that back.
All right. Well, it's show and tell every Friday. Mm-hmm. We bring silly stuff in to talk about because that's what we do. People, we're silly. We collect stuff. We get stuff. We, you know, whatever. It happens. Mine is all, I thought about waiting till next Friday, but by next Friday, the tournament's already underway. The Masters starts next week. Tuesday, Wednesday, practice rounds, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the actual tournament itself. Now, Kevin's going to call in Thursday morning at 6 instead of Monday because he will just have been there for 2 days, still in Georgia with Sue. And so I had the opportunity to go last year to the Masters as Kevin's guest. And I didn't ever think in my life I would ever like go to Augusta like in person. I've known people who have, and everyone that I know that's told me is like, okay, TV doesn't do it justice. You got to see it. You know, it's an unbelievable experience. I mean, it really, really is. And as pretty as you would think it would be, and the food is cheap, just like they say. You know, I mean, it's hard to get the ticket in, but once you get in, they don't gouge you. They've got an operation that even with scanners and machines, I mean, I've never gotten in and out of something so easy in my life as far as a large sporting venue.
How many people watch in person?
It's not as big as like a U.S. Open or something because the tickets are harder to get. That would be an interesting, I'll look that up during the break because it's probably not nearly as many as, you know, your average PGA tournament.
Probably so.
But it's all the attention to detail is just, I mean, from the signage to
the flowers, just that, the color.
Oh, and you get your picture taken.
I can't imagine what it would be like in person.
It's beautiful. I mean, the pine needles, like walking in the pine needles, like you'll see them get off the fairway occasionally, but you know, that's behind the ropes, you know, and you're right up there. I mean, as close as I am to you, you know, watching Tiger Woods or whoever it is, very hilly. I mean, it is a walk.
40,000 people Thursday to Sunday, approximately.
Yeah, which it's probably twice that if you go to like the Waste Management open in Phoenix or something.
A lot.
Not really. Not for
really.
No,
that seems like a ton of people on a golf course.
That's averaging 10,000 people over 18 holes.
That seems like a lot.
Because you don't stay in one spot,
right.
And it's not like you have a seat. Although there are some people who do have seats, and you can buy a Masters seat for like actually a pretty good deal. And it's the only place on earth you can just set it up and then go walk around and come back. And if somebody's sitting in it, they get up and give you your chair back.
Huh.
No argument, no hassle, no anything.
Nice.
You don't have every name on it, you know? It's just sort of, hey, I'll sit in somebody else's seat until they get back, and I'll go back to my seat, and there's somebody in there. It's just crazy. So if you go to eBay right now, I'm just looking at one of these. In 2016, they started these garden gnomes. And if you were to have a set, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's 8. That's 8 total gnomes. This one is on sale for $16,000 for these 8 gnomes.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, the key to any collecting, right, is no one in 2016 knew it was going to be a big deal.
Right.
And by the time the tournament starts, they're sold out. So the only really people who have the access to buy these are like Tuesday, Wednesday practice rounds, right?
Right.
And we were very early. We went in, and no one wants to carry this stuff around, so you can automatically get it shipped. I mean, you buy it, and then you go right to the next line, and they mail it to your house for you. I mean, it is the easiest thing ever. So,
love that.
Oh, no. Did you?
So this is the Masters bag.
It's a nice tote.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's green, as you would expect, with the logo right there on the side.
Now, last year, and I only brought the one, but there was a miniature gnome and then the full-size gnome.
Oh, I didn't realize that they'd have the presentation kind of box.
It's like... It's like
Santa. Every year there's a different costume or like the miniature gnome is in like one of the white jumpsuits the caddies wear. This one's got the coffee mug and the golf shoes and the socks and the hat. And these are going for like $500. Wow. And I think it was $49.
It looks like Santa.
So do you actually have that on display somewhere?
No, I didn't get it out of the garage. I was worried about spiders.
That's awesome.
That is so, it's very cute, actually.
And the
I
other
maybe
one,
you'd have it in your garden.
Sorry about that. The other one, I thought just, you know, from Nick's advice, you know, keeping things boxed, the value. The other one's like a smaller miniature version. And like I said, they've only done them since 2016. But there are people right now bidding on the, I mean, going crazy for these things.
$16,000?
Yeah, especially
Lord.
Right around the, you know, the Masters as people start to get the itch or whatever.
And when you look at it, this one has 75 watchers. You go to the ones that are bidding, there's 63 bids. I mean, this isn't there's some action, manufactured, you know, I mean, it's there. So some other trinkets from so you get your official Masters, you know, lanyard.
Nice.
And then this, of course, would be the passes for each day. And so you get...
still physical paper?
Yes, but barcoded and they scan you in. Very efficient in getting... Like, you don't feel like you're ever waiting in a long line. You know, I mean, it's like they get you in and out pretty fast. But their merchandise tent is just unbelievable.
Can you hold up one of those so I can see that? Does it have a hole? Okay, so it's treated almost like... If you were working at a concert, this would badge you into something versus a ticket you would put in your pocket and leave there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You were supposed to wear them.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is not uncommon, you know, at golf tournaments because you're not in a seat and you're moving around all the time.
Okay.
And it's also probably a lot of ways you can try to get in.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by, I mean, it's
you
a golf
you can't get
course.
Into this drink tent. You can't go over here or whatever. Okay.
And then there's, then there are levels of other things that you can. So this is just the course sheet they hand you, you know, and it just gives you the layout of the course and all that. They will not allow any electronic devices on course at all.
What is considered on course?
One gate.
So you leave it in your car.
Entry gate to exit gate.
Okay.
It's the only golf tournament that still does this. They all did this years ago. Mm-hmm. You would go, we went to the, I told you earlier, Whistling Straits for the PGA Championship, and they had little lockers, you know, that you would put your phone in and then come back and get it when you leave. There's none of that. You bring a phone in, you got to walk back to the car, put the phone away.
So they check you.
Huh?
They check every single one, like Wandia.
And all I kept thinking as I'm going through there is like, man, if somebody wanted to break into cars and take phones, there's 10,000 of them right over there.
Do they use clear bags on golf courses yet? Like they do in all these stadiums and arenas?
You mean for like women carrying a purse or something? I don't remember seeing that.
Okay.
But they do wand and, you know, they do go through everything. So these were the passes for Tuesday and for Wednesday. And then this is the spectator guide they still give you because you don't have a phone.
Right.
So there's no reason for technology because you're not on an app looking at everything because you can't have your phone. Now, I brought a camera. You can take in a camera on the Tuesday, Wednesday practice rounds if it doesn't have a detachable lens.
Right.
So, I mean, so you're not in a professional level of... And then when you do that, you can take as many pictures as you want. Just have it on silent mode.
Isn't that in and of itself just weird? Like if you're keeping people's phones from being in there, it's like, but you're allowing people to then document it. What is it about the phone that That they, is it maybe the aesthetic?
It's the aesthetic of what it looks like on TV, although the practice rounds aren't televised. It's a bunch of old guys that just want to keep things in a tradition. Yeah. And it's the golfers love it because people, no matter what you tell them, most people aren't bringing in a fixed camera. You know, but if you bring in phones, they're going to ring. People are going to talk on them. Okay. They're going to make noise. And they just don't not having it.
That's fair.
Now, you know what? If they didn't sell their 40,000 tickets, they might be pressured into doing something. But there's a line out the door for those 40,000 tickets, mm-hmm. and it's their rules.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So anyway, there's just the spectator guide you get when you go in, which is old school. And all of it designed to fit in a back pocket. Golf's very good at this.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely has that.
They don't
slim.
Give you the thing that you got to fold over six times and try to fit into whatever. And then this is like just this was from the hotel. But I mean, everything that happens everywhere you go, there is something that is, you know, masters, from the paintings on the wall to the pictures to this is the 2023 guide to the tournament, which was given to us in our hotel, which is part of something called Augusta Mag. There's, you know, some lifestyle thing down there. It is just one of the coolest things. And I will love watching it on TV, next weekend.
Yeah.
But now watching it with the context of having seen it with my own two eyes.
Yeah.
So there you go. No idea why these gnomes are so popular.
Yeah. That's really cool. Now I love watching things on TV like, oh, we were there. And then you see someone, we were there. And it's like, all right.
But I never would have anticipated having that experience.
Real cool.
We had a great time, and I'm hoping, and I know Sue will next week, too, for the first time, have a blast. All right, what's in the bag?
Okay, so I have mentioned probably several times that I'm a huge Walter Payton fan.
Oh, my favorite football player.
Yep. I unfortunately saved a lot of the Chicago press after he died. Went to his visitation.
Did you really?
At Soldier Field. Mm-hmm.
How many people were there?
It was packed. I don't know. I can't remember what old Soldier held, but
yeah,
let's say tens of thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I brought in the service.
Oh, they had an actual. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the date on like what year?
99.
Yep.
Wow. So the memorial service was on November 6th. He died November 1st. And then all these publications came out the day after. We were down here at the time, and my husband asked me if I wanted to go, and I was like, yes. And so we got there. To get in, you had to donate toys to his foundation.
That's
so
fantastic.
Of course, I had a football, and I think it was a Tickle Me Elmo. I think those were the two things that
1999, that was a hot ticket.
So, yeah. And I just remember... sitting there and then just listening to everybody and just tears. I was bawling and everybody around me was just so touched.
His coffin was there like on the 50 or something?
I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all. I just remember, seeing his kids there and seeing Connie there. And it was just... I always wanted to meet him, and my husband had set up a time to do that. And then they moved the venue and we never got notification. So I never got to meet him. And then he was gone like 2 years later. And I was broken. This is the greatest football player of all time. He's super healthy. And then boom, a rare liver disease and then the cancer, and it just took him. And so, yeah, I have all this stuff saved, and I was like, I'm going to go up into the attic when it's not so cold, and I'm going to grab this stuff.
Nice.
Newspaper headlines are amazing to me. I have a collection of, obviously 9/11, which happened on my watch, but also from, like, World War II. And, the end of World War II, Pearl Harbor. And when those big, broad headlines with the, when I was a kid, I was such a huge newspaper fan.
Yeah.
And so there's really, when you pulled that out, it was just like, I know exactly where we're going with this.
Yeah. I mean,
he would be 71 years old today.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. Gosh, he does.
Because people who die
young,
kind of, they're frozen in your head at that age.
Yeah.
The NFL honors
The Walter Payton.
Yeah, the Walter Payton Man of the Year for the best of each team.
Yep.
They each team gets to nominate a person who does lives the best life for the community. It's great.
Oh, and when I lived up there, he had a 5 and 10K race for his charity. And so I went and ran that a couple of times. And I mean, he was still alive at that point. And so he was playing football at that time. No, not at that time. But his wife was there because he most of the time couldn't make it. But I got to meet Connie and the kids, and that was really cool. And but yeah, never got to meet him. Got to go to races where he raced his car. My brother did get his signature and met him twice. Wow. And so for my birthday, after he passed, he gave me the shirt that he had signed and had it framed for me. So that's hanging in my library.
He came awesome. I cried
when he came to
Decatur in 2018. I
don't know how on earth I missed that. I'm so mad.
How old were you in 2018?
Well, that was just 6 years ago.
No, that can't be. It wasn't.
Yeah, Jarrett was here in 20.
Yeah, but he
that was in 2018. I was there and met
that
him.
Was yes, the son, right? That was a community leader's.
But
breakfast.
You're talking about back when they used to bring the
yes.
Yeah, I was probably a teenager, so it was many, many moons ago.
Unless I'm wrong, I
no,
am
he was
certain
here. He was on that list.
Okay. He came, what would have been the Decatur Athletic Council, yes. I believe, at the time. Chris Olson was involved with that and a lot of people. And they had a lot of people they brought in, Johnny Bench and, you know, some fairly big names, Bob Love. But Walter was one of them. You could always tell how people treat people behind the scenes, and everything I heard about that experience was that he was incredibly nice to everyone.
Gentlemen.
There were other people that just didn't want to talk to anybody in the car, driving him wherever, didn't pick him up at the airport, they're there to get a check and make a speech and go home.
Yep.
And I get it, but the people that I knew said that he was not that way.
Yeah.
There you go. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've read all the books, and he's just
Well, it's hard to imagine the Bears picked him like fourth or fifth overall in that draft because he played for Jackson State, which was a small, very at that point school. And but then as a kid, even though the Bears weren't very good. You always had him.
Always, and only missed one game, and he did not want to sit out.
And I still haven't forgiven Mike Ditka about dissing him in that Super Bowl.
Yeah. Ditka does say that is one of his regrets is, and he just
you got the fridge in, but you can't get it. Walter Payton in.
And I'm like, you just didn't think about it. That's hard to believe.
I mean, the reward for all those years of toiling in like defeat and not winning, and you get to the highest mountain and you ignore the Hall of Fame guy. The
greatest to ever do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's certainly in the conversation.
Yeah. You can't argue him off the Mount Rushmore of running backs.
No. You got Jim Brown. You got Barry Sanders. You got Walter Payton. Maybe Emmitt. Yeah. For sure. No doubt. And what could he have been playing on winning teams? I guess you could say the same thing about Barry and the Detroit Lions. And Jim Brown didn't play really long enough to know what he would have done over as long as Walter played.
It's a good list.
Who's the other who played for the Chargers? Eric Dickerson. I think that if you look at records
LaDainian
and yards,
Tomlinson.
Yeah, there are probably others, but man, there was nobody better than Sweetness.
No, he's my favorite of all time, and probably because he's in my
the
childhood
white
memory.
Tape shoes, the dance into the end zone, the high.
How nice he was.
Kangaroos. I mean, literally, who is going to, but he did,
The Wheaties box.
Yeah, oh, I have it.
Do you? That's a good one. That's a good box.
Yes, I do. Breakfast of Champions.
There you go. All right, Nick, did you bring anything?
I did.
You got to get Angela out of here.
Yeah, so let me just make this one a quick one. I brought this last week. This is Mjolnir. It's Thor's hammer.
My son has that too.
But it's Lego.
Yes,
it's a Lego.
He put it together for Christmas.
Okay.
Yes.
Now
that's awesome.
So this would not exactly be shatterproof, I'm assuming.
No.
Hit anything with any kind of.
It is surprisingly as rigid and like if somebody came in the house, I would not hesitate to grab it if I needed to. It is serious. Yeah. Listen to this.
He has it on his dresser.
I just see you hitting somebody and it's shattering into 800 pieces.
Oh, yeah, you get one good one. And then
one good one.
But, yeah, it's about, I would say, about 14 inches tall. The block of it, the head of it, is probably like the size of half of a loaf of bread almost.
Yeah.
And very robust. Had a real good time putting it together. Had a little display.
And how much?
I don't think it was very much.
How much?
I honestly don't know. Probably under $100.
Yeah, I would think that's
probably. $99 is probably about the price for this one.
My gnome was
when I saw
investment.
That handle sticking out of the bag, I knew what it was.
Yeah, I was going to bring some WrestleMania stuff, but I'll wait until it's over.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
All right.
It's no Walter Payton.
Well.
But he smashed like Thor's hammer.
Exactly.
That's
for sure.
When they pull out those big newspapers, you remember how much was in there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a paper boy, Brian.
Sunday papers were like ads. I'm talking about just when the content was there and
those big headlines
and the pictures, the visuals, all that makes me sad.
This is just a portion of it. I have magazines and all that
stuff. There would be days, and I'll hurry through this, where like say during the Iraq War or something, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, where you would race out to the driveway, the bundles had been dropped off, and I'd get them like in the wee hours of the morning, cut it open, look at it, and you're just like, It, like everybody else would do after I delivered it. They'd be there with their coffee sitting at the table, just consumed by that big sprawl, that big page that
I think it still happens. It's not necessarily here, you know, but I look at the collection I have and some of it, it's like I saved from just bad decisions of people wanting to chuck stuff like when we moved, you know, you can't get rid of the JFK assassination. I mean, what this is like history.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? I have all the Chicago Sun Times and of Michael Jordan, of all the Bulls championships and the inserts and all of that. And I'm sure a lot of people have theirs too. Nice yellow newspapers for most of us.
For sure. No one was thinking about preserving that for 50 years at the time, but good stuff. All right, Angela. Have fun at the pool.
Thanks.
And we'll see you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.